Welcome to ACC Nation. On this episode, Will Ogin and Xavion, and I'm Jim Quist. Probably the biggest story in college football for the past week has been Brett McMurphy's expose on Ohio State head football coach Urban Meyer. Recently fired Ohio State wide receivers coach Zach Smith's ex-wife claims that he physically abused her. A similar incident allegedly occurred while they were affiliated with Florida in 2009. Because of how this has been handled, Meyer has been placed on paid administrative leave and Ohio State is conducting an investigation. So how does all this come into play for ACC Nation? Well, let's look north. Steve Dazio, head coach at Boston College, recently told the Boston Globe that he was aware of an issue between the Smiths when he was an assistant at Florida in 2009. He didn't know the specifics and knew it was in the hands of university personnel and that the couple were in counseling. Dazio was a longtime assistant under Meyer at Florida. He later hired Smith as his wide receivers coach at Temple 2 years later, 2011. And then Smith joined Meyer in 2012 at Ohio State. Guys, thoughts on this whole debacle?
It's hard to really put in the words, you know, what this whole situation is. It's obviously you can't take it lightly. I just hope that, you know, this investigation that they're currently going through comes up with what will hopefully be the right conclusion, which will end up with the termination of Urban Meyer. I mean, as far as the Dazio situation, I mean, if he knew, it's kind of complicated because he knew of the issue, but if he claims he didn't know specifics, you know, that's where is this him covering himself, or maybe he does know something and just doesn't want to talk about it. But it's a real, you know, interesting situation. I don't know, unless something really comes out that he does know something, I think nothing will happen to him. You know, this is, I just hope that for all parties involved, that the right, that they find, you know, what needs to be done to end the situation.
Yeah.
I'm right there with Will. I find it hard for Urban Meyer to lose his job because you can't unequivocally determine that he knew or was fully aware of exactly the ins and outs of the domestic violence that Smith was accused of. But it's that moral ground more than anything, I think, that has the world, or sports world, specifically college football sports world, in a roar, because any man knows that there's no scenario where it's okay for you to put your hands on a woman. And I know that if three of us were walking down the street and some random stranger, who we have no idea who it is, was to put his hands on a woman, the three of us would step in and immediately do something. And based off of the reports, that's what Urban Meyer chose not to do. He chose to just, I guess, keep walking past. So it's difficult on the moral standard, more than anything, to stomach and really, I guess, deal with what's being reported. But then on the other hand, I personally try to look at things from all angles and all sides. If he wasn't fully aware, there was rumors that he was doing something. We also have to look at, I'm not trying to justify this at all, but in 2009, I'm pretty sure that was in that time frame or window for Florida, where they were essentially at the top of the world when it came to college football. I mean, we've seen all the numerous reports that came out from the players. I mean, you have Aaron Hernandez sticks out like a sore thumb for Florida back then, but putting it to the wayside isn't too far-fetched from what we've seen from that program, and unfortunately Urban Meyer and who he's been associated with. So it's pretty damning, and it's not the best thing, especially less than a month before the season starts. So it's going to be very interesting next couple of weeks going into the first week of games for Ohio State and the rest of the college football world.
I'm going to start with Steve Adazio, and I will point to a couple of things. In a normal procedure, and I think he kind of laid it out perfectly, that while he was at Florida, if he's an assistant coach, he is not the head coach, which means you're ultimately responsible for everything and anything that's going on underneath of you. We have the same scenario over in Louisville with Rick Pitino. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have situations like this and it comes to your attention, especially if you're a head coach, this is where you have a conversation with your employee. Mm-hmm. And if there is something that you feel that needs to be addressed further, you certainly take it to your administration. And they do have HR people there who can advise you. And then if they need to, take it further and do like Ohio State is doing right now. Now, the thing that bothers me about the Adazio story is this, is that he had an inkling about something going on. But 2 years later, he hired him at Temple as an assistant, which is a red flag for me. Now, I don't think that affects him at Boston College, but as an administrator, if I heard that report, I would have a sit-down conversation with him, with an HR person, and say, you know, these are the types of things that run people's careers off the rails and will ruin you, and not only you, but our school. And when it comes to that, we do have a say, so that you have that conversation. Now, where if any place this goes with him, I don't see it going anywhere, but I would definitely have that conversation if I were at Boston College. Now, with Urban Meyer, this whole thing with a 2-week investigation, that seems a little sketchy to me. And I can't help but think that based upon all the information that Brett McMurphy is uncovered and released, published, countered, the falsehoods that have come out of this, and let's call them what they really are. I'm tired of hearing people call things falsehoods when they're lies. Covering up. That's why he's on paid administrative leave, Meyer. And it's going to be interesting to see where this whole thing goes. Any last thoughts from either one of you on this particular story?
You're basically at the point where, you know, we just have to let the investigation take its course, and, you know, whatever happens, happens, I suppose.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. And I hope that everybody who is aware of this story, that it brings more attention to, as Xavier was pointing out, three of us walking down the street, if this was happening, it would not be happening. And mm-hmm. how it would be dealt with, that's a whole different story, a whole different podcast, probably not this one. So let's move on. SB Nation has released a none too flattering video on how Bobby Petrino failed, in this particular instance, the Atlanta Falcons, but they went over contract issues from Louisville to Atlanta and then on out to the next stop where he had the motorcycle accident and was messing around with somebody. So it's interesting to watch, and I put that up on my Twitter account in case you want to check that out, ACC The Q. It's just this time of year, as we were talking before we got on the air, this is just this, you know, when there's a lull in activity in sports, that is an opportunity for people to start digging, and they come up with these stories. And that's why all these things start hitting. And that's not a bad thing. I compliment Brett McMurphy on the job that he's done. It has been spectacular journalism. It's the type of thing that I hate to see the story from the perspective of this, something like that's actually happening, but his writing, his timing on this story and how it was released and everything, super job. Let's go to our next story here. Wake Forest quarterback Kendall Hinton is suspended for the first 3 games of the season, which leaves us with this looming large type of question. Who starts at QB? True freshman Sam Hartman or redshirt sophomore Jamie Newman? And most people outside of the circles of Winston-Salem are going, who? Both are getting snaps with the ones. And what would happen if Wake goes 3-0? Should Hinton just step back into the starter role, or will he have to earn it?
Oh, I mean, you go with the high end. He'd have to earn. I mean, one, if he's the leader of the team, he was thrust into the leadership position and then to be suspended three games going into the season, that's not off to a very good start as being the leader of the team. So if your team is 3-0, regardless of who they choose, you're going to have to do more than just return to earn your starting spot back in that scenario. Now, if they're 0-3 and they've been taken to the woodshed and the opposing teams have had their way with them in all three games, then you're kind of forced to, yeah, we have to throw him in there and get something going.
If they get taken to the woodshed by Towson, in their second game, then yeah, I think desperation's going to set in and you're going to see Hinton there. But if they do start off 3-0, they would have to upset Boston College. But maybe Xavion's right; they'll go with the hot hand, whether it be Hartman or Newman. Or yeah, I'm starting to wonder actually if quarterback is going to be the spot for Hinton, since they've been having him field punts and stuff during practice. So I'm wondering if they have something else in mind for him when he comes off of suspension. I mean, I don't think you can be a quarterback and return punts at the same time.
No, or at least you shouldn't be.
That's the recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you got to be a special athlete to do something like that.
Imagine Tom Brady fielding punts.
Oh,
well, that's the end of the Patriots run.
well, then again, it would be hard for him to deflate balls.
Oh.
And catch it as well, because we saw what he did in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Wah, wah. Well done, sir.
Okay. Points. All right. We're all going to have to catch up with you. All right. Next up, 13 players at North Carolina have been suspended after selling team-issued shoes. A couple of starters here, too, man. This is a thing that really blows me away. Among them is quarterback Chaz Surratt. He's sitting out 4 games. The suspensions will be staggered, by the way. It was approved by the NCAA to be that way. But nonetheless, you have a large group of guys missing 4 games, a couple of guys 2, and a couple of other guys, which includes another quarterback, Jack Davidson, 1 game. Will brought the most recent thing to our attention just a little while ago before we sat down to do this. So I'll let you roll with it.
Man, this whole topic, all the topics tonight are pretty depressing, aren't they? the whole Meyer thing to
so far
suspensions and now, the thing that's come out of this is Fedora is now said that Nathan Elliott will be the starting quarterback going into their opener at Cal. It will be interesting. I know they both him and Surratt played pretty well at the end of last season, but still, they're going to be hard pressed to beat Cal anyways, no matter who started a quarterback. But whether or not you like this rule that they get, they get suspended for selling shoes, we all lived the life in college where we had hardly any money and we're barely eating to get through meals. But unfortunately you're supposed to be an amateur athlete and rules are rules, but this is going to be a really tough slate early part of the season for the Tar Heels. Without one of their quarterbacks, they're going to be pretty thin on defense. Not that it's very good to begin with, but they're going to be hard pressed to get out of the gate with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, North Carolina didn't fare too well last season, and to start off this season, I'm expecting worse. 13 players, some backups, some starters, is going to be detrimental to any football team. I am on the side though of, I believe those shoes are probably shoes that they were just given to be like, hey, some free swag for being part of the North Carolina football team. And essentially I believe they should be able to do whatever they choose with that stuff. But like Will said, if it's a rule, unfortunately, you have to follow the rules blindly, especially when it comes to the NCAA, as I'm sure they've known with Ohio State, not to bring them back up, but Ohio State had the issue a couple years ago that led to their coach being fired for the same. Along the same line. So it's for a football program that hasn't had much positive things to say or look at, it's all negative. It's been negative for North Carolina from recent memory. So But I definitely would say Hot Seat is probably a blazing fire right now.
Fedora, yeah.
Yeah, because it's they're clearly showing lack of institutional control from him if he's having this type of suspension go down.
Well, if you go back to his comments at AC Media Days, he's lacking some things.
So yeah. He's not falling too far from his tree.
Yeah. That's a tree with no branches, apparently. So let's move into something a little more positive now, since we're bumming everybody out. The USA Today Amway preseason football coaches poll is out. The top five teams are Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma. So I would venture to say that at least one of those teams may not be in that top five come AP top 25 time, which is only a couple weeks away, by the way.
Ohio State, excuse me.
Yeah. I wonder how you knew that. Yeah, I think there's enough of a kerfuffle going on there that I don't know. I can't see them in the top five. Now, am I off base with that?
I mean, if you just take it at face value what they have, I would personally put Georgia ahead of them, even with Urban Meyer as head coach. I just like Georgia more, to be perfectly honest.
They have of the five teams you named, they definitely have, I would probably say, some of the top three talent between Alabama, Georgia. You can make an argument for Clemson and Ohio State to kind of be three right there. It's, like I said earlier, it's tough to potentially have issues with your coach. Because one thing I do want to touch on earlier, I'm most interested, regardless if he retains his job or not, looking at the signs from the college kids who are going to come to Ohio State or when they go to away games, because I know we've seen some crazy signs from the college kids before, but with this type of stuff rising, we can only imagine how ridiculous it's going to get. And he's going to have to, unfortunately, potentially deal with that as well as a team. So it's going to be a long, long season. I don't see them staying in the top five for much of the season at all.
We want to throw something Ohio State related. The interim coach actually has connections to Boston College. He's actually been there for four different coaches, actually. He was there for Tom O'Brien. He was there for Jeff Jagodzinski, Frank Spaziani, and Steve Adazio. So he's been at Boston College for quite a while.
Good coach, too, by the way. Or he wouldn't be where he is. Consistency. My thought is that Alabama shouldn't be number one, but that is a carryover from last year. I think Clemson has more stepping up this year. We'll see. I'm there with you guys on the Ohio State thing. I think Georgia is a much better team. Again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. This is just projecting just a little bit. Let's look into the ACC teams and an independent that might as well be. And might even talk about that a little bit here in just a second, too, which was an interesting side note. Miami is at number eight. What do you think, Xavion? You think they ought to be at number eight?
Yes and no. The reason why I say yes, because it's a success of last season, you kind of would expect them to have a top 10 spot, even though they didn't finish this season on the best of note the last couple of games. But the reason why I don't like it is because the higher the ranking, the more expectations. And if you stumble out of the gate early on in the season, that can kind of put you in a hole that might be too difficult to come out of unless you finish the season with going to the title game in your conference and winning that title game. Because I believe we fully expect Clemson to be at least one of those spots for the ACC championship. But it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, if I have to choose, I would. That's a good spot. It's close to being outside the top 10, and it's right inside the top 10. So that's fair.
I think that Cam Underwood, who was our guest a couple of weeks back, had a very good reason why Miami may not be up that high, or maybe shouldn't be, and that is in regard to the quarterback.
Yeah, I think when you look at where they are in the poll at eight. I look right behind them at Penn State, number nine. I would put them ahead of Miami. I could make an argument to keep them there, but I could also make an argument that Auburn could be ahead of them, but I wouldn't put them ahead of the team that's at number 11, who we'll get to shortly. But I think what you mentioned, you know, Malik Rozier, that's a big question going into the season is what is, you know, which version of Malik Rozier are we going to see? Are we going to see the one that, you know, was playing very well at the beginning of the season? Or are we going to see the Malik Rozier that once he got in the conference play was the polar opposite and couldn't complete 50% of the passes in half his games? Or you know, there's always what I wrote about a few weeks ago, the turnovers and the statistical improbability of it repeating again the next season. So there are reasons to think Miami may not repeat, but at the same time, you know, they're the most talented team in the Coastal. I don't think there's any you know, issue with saying that, but you know, they're going to have to earn it, at least in my opinion.
Coastal is as the summer progressed and players started sort of dropping like flies at other schools, one in particular, things are not that strong this year in that division. And Miami does look like a much more solid choice to go with if you're talking about Coastal Division winner and facing off with Clemson ultimately for the championship. I hate to crown somebody this early, but it certainly looks that way. Let's go to number 11, which you brought up here just a second ago, Will. So we'll stick with you and talk about Notre Dame.
Oh, God.
I think a gentleman on the other side and I are in agreement with Notre Dame in that they do not deserve to be number 11. I think the biggest issue with Notre Dame that I have is I have not seen Brandon Wimbush be a good quarterback. He can run it, but you know, if he's forced to throw, then Notre Dame has no chance. Remember, they lost, you know, the running back Josh Adams. They suffered some, you know, key losses on offense. You know, St. Brown is gone. They've lost, you know, like I say, they lost quite a few their better offensive players, and you know, they also have a pretty tough schedule, and I think, you know, they're going to definitely end up falling out of from 11. I don't know if they're going to fall in the top 25, but you know, I don't think they're number 11. If you look at who's right behind them, Michigan State I put ahead of them, Stanford I put ahead of them, Michigan I put ahead of them, probably put USC ahead of them, and
I was waiting for it,
and TCU I put ahead of them too, but. Yeah, then I'd start questioning right after that.
Dude, he was just sucking up to you, Xavion. Come on now. So,
nah, he's speaking facts.
Give us your unvarnished opinion of Notre Dame.
No, I absolutely agree with Will. This is no bias, but you can't lose your biggest and best offensive weapon, which is Quentin Nelson on the offensive line. That's probably the biggest damage or hurdle they're going to have to overcome. I mean, so yeah, you lost two first-round picks from the offensive line, then throw in you have a quarterback that doesn't know how to throw the football, and then you lost, I think, your top two runners or whatever. And that was the main staple for Notre Dame football last year with a run game. And you lost all the best pieces to have a run game. So are you going to turn to throwing the ball now because you don't have a quarterback or anybody on the roster that can throw it like that? So, I guess you can throw them in the top 20 off of the name of Notre Dame, but by season's end, the performance USC gave last year, I can tell you it's going to be the opposite this year with the defense that they have and the issues that Notre Dame's going to be facing all season. So they can have 11 and enjoy it for right now. It's just a preseason poll, but I'm sure by week two or three, we'll see an adverse effect.
I'm going to go with what you guys are saying. I don't think Notre Dame should be at 11. I think they ought to be down lower. In fact, I think they ought to be like in the 20 to 25 range at best. But again, we'll see what happens. Virginia Tech is at 17. Now, here's a team that I have some major questions about, and I think a lot of other people do too. They are in a rebuild, and even though they do have a much improved offense, there are lots of questions on that defensive side. Any thoughts here, Xavion?
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw. I think Will might have posted something in the group chat, but they basically have lost a lot. whether it's been draft or left the program, suspended or transfers, they have lost more than probably you could probably stomach as a head coach of a program in one season. The offense wasn't anything to boast about last year either. Very inconsistent, especially on the offensive line play. The running game wasn't much of anything to be proud of. And besides throwing it to Cam Phillips, nobody else was really catching passes and stuff for them. So, unfortunately, I look at them taking a step back this season. Especially, yeah, it's at 17. Because, 17 is, I still kind of feel, after everything they've lost, that might be a little high. I kind of would go with what Jim just said recently about Notre Dame. I think Virginia Tech should be probably actually in the 20-25 range. And I think that'd be a little bit generous.
What do you think about the Hokies, Will?
Yeah, I think some of this ranking is on reputation, but you mention it. You know, there's been a lot of turnover on the defensive end, but you know, you say Bud Foster kind of gets the benefit of the doubt in a situation like this. You think he can, you know, work some wonders with this defense? They're going to have a good offense. You know, Deshaun McLeese really emerged, you know, as the season went on, as a pretty good running back. You know, they get another year of Josh Jackson at quarterback and see if he could take another step forward. And Xavion mentioned it, you know, they lost Cam Phillips, who, you know, was their main pass catcher. You know, 71 receptions and almost 1,000 yards gone right there. They have, you know, who's going to be the guy that steps up? And you know, there's a couple of receivers who really, you know, had decent seasons that were younger last year. Maybe Sean Savoy, you know, I think a lot of this comes down to reputation. Virginia Tech has been, you know, so good for so long that maybe they got this on that reputation. But I'm not sure they deserve a number 17 ranking.
Let's see how you guys react to this, because I know how Hokie fans are going to react to it. I don't think they're a top 25 team. Just saying.
I can see that.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how week one fares. And We're actually about to get into the team that they play week one. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So let's do that. Let's go to number 19, FSU. And this is there's more going on there than meets the eye. Let's just put it that way. So your thoughts, let's start with Will here.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because it's, you know, this team basically needed to reschedule a canceled game to make a bowl last year. But obviously Jimbo Fisher's gone. You have a new coach, a new philosophy, a whole lot of optimism now. I hope that, you know, once they get this quarterback situation resolved, I think I should be DeAndre Francois personally, but you know, they're not going to name anything pretty much until game day, essentially. But, you know, a lot of their pass catchers are young and are back. Obviously, they've got Cam Akers back, who is the number two running back in the ACC, in my opinion. But they definitely have the talent on offense, I think, where you could make some, you know, they have questions on defense, I think it's fair to say. Yeah, you know, they lost their top two tacklers. You know, they're gone pro. They've lost a few of them, but they have done a pretty good job of recruiting, and they'll, you know, maybe some of these recruits will start stepping up on the defensive side and make some plays. But like I say, I think going into that first game against Virginia Tech, I would totally take FSU to win right now.
So when Willie Taggart was at Oregon last year, they were off to a really fast start, and I believe they started off 4-0. And then they injuries, and I guess the rest of the Pac-12 caught up. But I kind of envision the same thing happening at FSU. They bring back, I mean, even though Francois was hurt, Blackman got plenty of playing time and definitely is going to have grown a lot. So that's going to be an interesting quarterback battle that either you can start either or. And I feel that Taggart would be confident, especially going into the first game of the season against Virginia Tech. They're, like Will said, they have the number two running back in the whole entire conference in ACC, that if push comes to shove, you can just hand it off to him and let him make plays. 19, from what they started off and where they finished last season, 19 is a good spot to, you know, with Florida State being in the same division as Clemson, they if they can string together a couple of wins and maybe get an upset here or there, they could see themselves, you know, potentially playing Miami in the ACC conference title game rather than Clemson, which would definitely hurt, you know, the playoff positioning for Clemson come season's end. But I expect Florida State to do a lot better than they did last year, injury issues bearing, but it could be a good season for them. I actually would probably put Florida State now, looking at it, ahead of Virginia Tech, where they were 17th.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking 10 to 15 would be about right. I think they're going to have to earn anything past that. I don't really believe at this moment they're a top 10 team in my gut. But I see a lot of things going on there that are positives, that are turnarounds. And, man, if you know, we've heard a lot of background on what Fisher was not doing there, which was negative. And
coaching?
Yeah. Golly, Ned. I mean, there's some really upsetting stories that when you hear them, you kind of go, really? And then you start thinking about it, and you look at it closer, and you go, yeah, I can believe that. So I think that turnaround that Taggart is going to bring a whole new concept, feel, different scheme. It looks to me like the players are much more bought into the program than they were last year. So that can make a huge difference. We'll see what happens. Receiving votes. We've got four teams receiving votes from the ACC. Boston College, NC State, Duke, and Louisville. Thoughts on those four teams, Xavion?
The first two, I can see NC State and Boston College. That makes sense to me, especially Boston College. I think they can end the season in probably, I'd say, the 12 to 18 range, somewhere up there ranked. But Louisville and Duke, I don't see why they would receive votes. Specifically Louisville, you lost your do-it-all player, do-everything for Louisville besides, you know, actually run the university, and Lamar Jackson. So
may have done that, too.
I don't see how they would receive any type of votes, because who's replacing that type of production from one human being?
Interesting response. Will, what are your thoughts on those four schools?
I would probably put Boston College in my rankings, maybe swap them out with Virginia Tech. I think it's interesting that, you know, I look at it on Twitter and people are kind of disrespecting Boston College, but do people not realize A.J. Dillon is in that backfield?
And that's not all.
Yeah. I don't want to give a whole lot away, because I am going to be writing about this later this week for ACCNation.net about why you shouldn't disrespect Boston College. And, you know, there's a lot of experience coming back on this team on both sides of the ball. And I think they also have a very favorable schedule too. As far as NC State goes, yeah, I get why they're in the receiving votes column. You know, they return Ryan Finley. They do lose Jalen Samuels, but you know, they have the wide receiver back who is already making a lot of waves in the Harmon. But the question is defense. You know, there's so many questions about that defense because they lost the entire defensive line and about the secondary. I think they returned like three starters from that that defense. Duke, I get, you know, again, I can understand why they might receive some votes, because kind of like a poor man's Boston College. They return a lot. I don't think it's quite as talented as Boston College's returning talent, but they still have some good players and a team that's, you know, they obviously have been together and have played together. So I get why they're there. Louisville, I think Juwan Pass is going to be like Lamar Jackson 2.0.
As good as sliced bread, man. That's all I got to say. Boston College should be in the top 25, probably ought to be in the 15 to 20 range. As you mentioned, swapping out with Virginia Tech, I can see that. NC State, that may be going purely on Ryan Finley and the potential of that offense. The defense, big question mark. Duke, I see as a sleeper team. I actually see them popping into the top 25 before long. Louisville, I actually like Juwan Pass. I think that there's going to be something different at Louisville that you haven't seen for a while. When you have somebody who is so dominant on offense like Lamar Jackson, and then all of a sudden you have a passer who likes to stay in the pocket, but yet who can run, and you've got a couple of good receivers, you are going to see something different out of Louisville. Now, that's part of the potential. We'll see how far it takes them. Anyway, that's a great look, and thanks, guys. Super look at all these teams and our thoughts, because we're getting real close, you know, to kickoff. It's only a couple weeks away. I'm really looking forward to that, and have been pretty pumped about what I'm seeing in the NFL so far, and looking forward to this week as well, as we get everybody in the NFL preseason going. It's just sort of sifting through people, but it's still fun to watch. Be sure to join us on Twitter. Will is at Will's World MN. Xavion is at XAYVEON. And I'm at ACC The Q. Be a part of the ACC Nation family on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at ACC Nation. And on Facebook, you'll find us at our new page, ACC Nation Sports. That's ACC Nation Sports on Facebook. And until next time.